My name is Kikuchi of SMBC Nikko Securities, and I have two questions. First, Mr. Omikawa talked about this. He talked about the new strategy, and that's interesting to me. So I would like to ask some specific question about this. As a service, when will this start? Please tell me when, and that's my first question. Among your company's products, if you combine them, I think that this can be provided, but are there any new developments that have to be carried out for this? And what would be the cost that would be incurred for any new developments necessary? That's my question. As for the date we will start, a strategy announcement was made recently. I didn't talk about any specific dates then. That will be announced, but within this year, a comprehensive license is to be provided, and there has been some newspaper coverage about this. As for development, perhaps Eva can explain.
Yes, on the home security part, actually there's two new security technology that we implemented. One is the deep packet inspection that has to be implemented in the router level or in the home network level. And the second technology is so-called cloud security gateway. It's like you're hosting a proxy server in the cloud to do all of this. But in these two areas, the development costs already incurred, like the DPI was incurred last year when we acquired a company called Broadweb in Taiwan, which is specialized in this. And the second technology on this cloud security gateway was incurred in the other enterprise product called IW SaaS version. So this cost already incurred, and we were just leveraging those technology to deploy into the consumer market.
To add to that, as for the basic technology development, Eva has already explained about this, but for the product, when we had this in the first quarter, once the product sales are generated, then we get the results. So if it's the basic technology developments of the future, that basically is already over. I see. Then for your objective, what are you thinking as goals? In the current market, you want to maintain your position and you want to have a new premium effort. And you want to have a single management approach. But in the consumer business growth, what kind of image do you have about this? If you have any numeric goals that you can share with us, that would be appreciated. Last week, when there was an announcement made, for the mature, in the mature market, we have 23.3 million users, and we want to make this 62 million users. So we want to increase the number of users. That's a major goal that we have. As for numeric goals, though, we have not disclosed any numbers here. I see. And the thinking here is that this is, in a sense, a new market. As Eva explained, we have focused on devices, and it's not that three PCs per person, but rather one license per home with any number of devices, and not just PCs, but also the smartphones or appliances connected to the network, everything. And in regard to what this market size is like, well, the trend now is that rather than protect each terminal device, the idea is to protect the home internet environment. So the thinking is changing here. In regard to 62 million, is it devices? Or is it unique users? not the number of devices? It's not the number of devices. It's the number of unique users when we talked about 62 million. The second point is what I'm always asking about. When it comes to deep security, you see full-fledged growth here. But when it comes to the existing markets shrinking and the new strategic products growing, has the time for a takeoff in the numbers already come? Or is it 6 months ahead or 1 year ahead? Well, when we look at our forecast, it's not clear in the second half of this year. If we say that it's going to be in the second, it's not going to be in the second half. We have our expectations for the next year. This year, there are macro environmental factors in Europe and so on. But once that stabilizes, then we can look forward to more results next year. Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Mitsubishi UFJ.
My name is Tanaka from Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley Securities. I have three questions. Question one. In the second quarter, mobile impact on pre-GAAP numbers, how big was the impact? Are you talking about the cost? Well, I'm just talking about pre-GAAP. Are you talking about revenue? Yes, for example, sales coming from smartphones. Not a big growth. Basically, it's flat. KDDI has been flat, so from the middle of Q2, the iOS started, so it hasn't really made a big contribution yet. I see. Second question regarding AWS. I see that you said that you had 100 new additional customers. So this is calculated in the pre-GAAP numbers and is reflected in the sales. How does it work? AWS is subscription-based, monthly subscription. So it's not about pre-GAAP and post-GAAP. It is basically post-GAAP on a monthly basis. So looking at this number, you cannot really tell that pre-GAAP and doesn't reflect in the deferred revenue balance either. But this is a very stable monthly income from those customers. So the number may be small, but we believe that there are great values in this in the future. So how much for the 100 companies? Well, the value for each company is relatively small. So it doesn't influence the revenue that much. But 100 company is only the beginning. It will increase to several hundred or maybe 1,000. And then it will work like a stock and contribute to the sales. I see. Third question, freemium model. You will have more and more partners in the future and you'll be doing a revenue share. So like KDDI, there may be a ceiling and you may not be share anything above that ceiling. That's my feeling. Our target is mostly emerging markets. And we don't have any big footprints there. So there's a lot of room for growth. As far as the perspective is concerned, we're not really trying to sell security software per se. In the emerging market, I don't think there is a big customer base for security software. But they're willing to pay money for games, for example. That is why it is significant for us to be able to work together with game software vendors. And then we can combine that with mobile security, and the vendor's application check can be done with our basic functionalities. So we can do the recommendation together. In other words, the users will be able to use the game software with confidence. And then, of course, payment will be done. and the payment settlement is different from one country to another, so we're all together with a settlement company too. It's a revenue share among three parties. So our potential basically is based on the game players. So I think maybe the market is bigger than security. Right. So when they purchase something, is that a one-time payment? Depends on the type of the game and also depends on the type of a settlement or payment.
New type of a revenue model. In the app ecosystem, there's two types of revenue. One is in-app advertisement. In your application, if your application has a large install base, then you can people will buy the advertisement within your app. So that is one type of revenue. The other type is so-called in-app purchasing. They, in your application, they buy, for instance, a game. And that game, usually in game, most of the revenue come from purchasing of the in-app purchasing, like the weapon. When they play, they buy the weapon. And every time when they buy the weapon, then you share portion of that revenue. It's very small amount of money, but because this device is huge amount of device and game player or the app installation is huge, and therefore there is, it's just totally different way of collecting revenue.
ありがとうございました。
はい。あ、では。
My name is Eguchi of Merle Shoken, and three points. As for the quarter that just ended, the second quarter, by region basis, in the West, we see the contributions made, but in the second quarter, there's a considerable improvement. Is it because of the top line? I think that it may be the FX or the cost factors that have made the improvement in the second quarter. Which is it? You're talking about North America? Also Europe as well as North America. Yes, basically, in the consumer market, we have no expectations there. We're focused on the enterprise market, and we're looking at the strategic market. It may be about 40% of the total sales of Japan, but we have a higher percentage of strategic products sold in Europe, and we are acquiring new customers. And with the new customers acquired, we are trying to sell existing products, such as complete end-user protection. And we want to increase net sales. So the first phase is to acquire new customers, and we are having steady progress here. And on that basis, we want to sell existing products. And if that's successful, I think that we can increase our net sales considerably. So it's because of the increased revenues by acquiring new customers. Now, you talked about costs impacting first quarter. Well, that's the case in the profits, but there's a limit as to what you can do to improve results by just reducing costs. You have to increase the net sales. And so, therefore, we worked on this on the first quarter. And as asked by Mr. Kikuchi, when this will result, it may not be in the second half of this fiscal year, but I believe that we are moving forward according to plans in acquiring new business. Now, second question. In the second slide, you mentioned about from April to June, 16% increase in cloud business. But when it comes to the percentage of new customers, it's much higher, apparently. Is it more than 30-40%? Or is it in line with that kind of number? Well, one thing, we're entering the volume zone right now. 1 year ago, things fluctuated considerably. We were not certain whether we could get large projects or not, but now we have less fluctuation. We have volume. We have increased the number of customers, and we have certain amounts of money. But once we get into the business, unlike antivirus measures, it's an all-or-nothing thing in antivirus. If there's 10,000 PCs they either buy 10,000 licenses or no licenses. But when it comes to strategic products, if they have 10,000 servers, they may buy just for 5,000 at first for one function. But then for the total infrastructure that still remains, there may be more business. Previous, the idea was to get everything, but it's quite tough. You either give a discounts, and there may be no pain on part of the customer. And I mentioned about the sales cycle being very long. That's what I meant. And we have given up on that approach. At first, we are just addressing the pain of the customer and then moving on to the next customer. But then by doing that, if a maybe that the company has 1,000 servers out of which we only sell to 5 servers, but we're not going to forget them. We'll try to increase that. And also there's existing products that we can try to sell to the customer once we establish a relationship. And as Mr. Omikawa has mentioned, it takes time to create the basis for upsales. And these are not reflected in the numbers yet, but then we're seeing steady progress here. Finally, I'd like to ask the following question about the consumer market. In regard to the 23.3 million users to 62 million users, is it for the emerging markets or is it expanded sales? Is it by entering new markets that you're going to be able to increase up to 62 million users? And what about the unit price or the unit price per home? Or maybe it's like the ARPU. Does that mean that the unit prices are going to go up or not? Could you give us your ideas on this? In regards to the first question, already for the markets we have, the growth rates, such as in Japan, maybe slightly higher or on the double digit, but for the emerging markets, the growth rates are higher, we assume, because we're about to start. And as for the unit prices, for the emerging markets, we cannot expect high numbers there. When it comes to the mature markets, it's not just one single approach. There are several phases. There are normal services, and in services, we're thinking of several layers. So the average unit price will change depending on which level we're talking about. That's the kind of format. If you're successful, you'll increase, though. Yes.
Any other questions? Question about freemium. You're talking about your collaboration with game companies. So freemium for emerging markets, I'm sure that you'll have to pick partners like that. But Tencent is another company that you were collaborating with before. So what about a partnership with Tencent? Trying to get the revenue from peripherals, is that the model that you're thinking of?
Yes, I think Tencent is a good example of this type of ecosystem and getting money from eyeball rather than getting money from selling software. But our collaboration with Tencent before was just we provide the security scanner for Tencent. We did not get the share of the eyeball. And also, Tencent's business mainly is in China. And when we're talking about our premium strategy, we did not include China as our strategic target because I think probably people know that in China recently there is a lot of countrywide protection. They only use their internal domestic security software especially, and therefore we did not include China into our freemium strategy. But we do believe countries like, there's also in the developing country, there's two type of country that we will be targeting at. One type of country is such as Thailand. They they actually have high output. But other countries like Indonesia, they have large population. So our strategy there is to get the IBOR there, but their output is very low. But in the freemium business, the first step is no matter what, you need to get a large install base, get a lot of IBOR, and then you're getting money from other people, not coming from those, for instance, mine not coming from Indonesia, but coming from Thailand or like Taiwan. These are the countries that have higher output.
But who are the vendors that you, do you have any partners established?
Yes, we work with, for instance, in Russia, we work with Fly, and in Indonesia, Turkey. Yeah, several countries, we have either the, or like Philippines, they also have a larger population, and we work with Cherry. So there's like high level smartphone maker that in this country, or the telecom company that in these countries, that those are the partners that we work with.
So this will start from 2015?
We already started here, but I must say, because this is a new business model, and the first steps, you just need to get a lot of IBOR. So we did not expect any revenue in 2014 or even 2015. We don't know when we can accumulate enough IBOR to starting to get those advertisement or in-app purchasing revenue.
It's another question for you.
So I have another question for you, Eva. It's a conceptual question.
Reminds me of Adobe Systems, which is also transitioning from the perpetual license to recurring. And they've done a better guidance towards investors about this transition and how they expect margins to progress over time. Could Trend Micro issue that kind of guidance about long-term quality of the recurring fees and how much it might account in total revenues?
First, let me explain. In the consumer business, although we have this home-based license, we still maintain the device license. So the original product license model, if customer want, they can still have that. And therefore, it's not like we are transitioning the whole business into this type of new model. And our consumer, this freemium business, the developing country, we have nothing at all. So it's not like we transition the license into the subscription model. So I don't think we have a lot of transition type of revenue that was doing. And Trend Micro's business, as you know, since we are antivirus subscription base, has been there for years. So the revenue composition will not dramatically change from license to subscription.
I would like to add, this has been a long-standing challenge for us. And we decided to introduce the deferred revenue system because of the same reason, same logic. And we can show you pre-GAAP numbers and other numbers for the investors. And if you have to choose one, then we have to show the post-GAAP revenue based on the accounting standard. So this is calculated based on the subscription model. Now, the problem is, or the question is everything going to transition to subscription? It has to be up to the choice of the customer. And the license, is that perpetual license or subscription? And this is basically something that we have to look at the time of revenue recognition. And if we say we only provide a subscription, then some of the customers will not like that. They prefer the licensing system. We don't know exactly why. Maybe some emotional reasons. We don't know. And they paid certain money, and if you get a license, it feels like you're getting something for your money, whereas subscription is maybe people don't feel that they got what they something in return for their money. But subscription is like a service, and we believe subscription is a better model, same as Microsoft. So if everybody's aware of that, maybe we can change, like Adobe. Adobe is strong, and it was more or less a monopoly, so they could do this. And the users had to live with it, but we're not in the same situation. So we believe that it's too early for us. And going back to an earlier question, for AWS, it's monthly payment to start with. It's very simple. AWS channel has customers who understand this new system, but we have been selling application software securities for a long time, and if we ask those customers to change to subscription model, they will ask why. The customers will ask why, they will not the reason. And we're not really there. It's too premature. So unless more than half of the customers are on the subscription model, we cannot say that we will transition to the subscription model altogether. And like I said earlier, it's up to the customers to decide. If you don't do anything, whether it's Azure or AWS, all the software will be distributed through these channels in the future, maybe. So that's the forecast of the platform companies, not ours. And application software, we cannot really decide when we transition to the subscription model altogether, so we cannot really say. And we're looking at the post-GAAP numbers. So it's not like the post-GAAP revenue will have immediately. Well, pre-GAAP may see some difference. For example, deferred revenue may change over time, but these changes can be explained clearly. Thank you.